Current Affairs. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our program, Current Affairs. I am Sonu Sood, and today we will be discussing about rise of Nari Shakti in science, sports, and space sectors. We have with us Dr. Jaya Chawla from Ram Manohar Lohia Hospital, New Delhi, Uttara Ganeshan, senior sports journalist, and Astha Jhala, space architect. Warm welcome to you on Akashvani. One of the stellar accomplishments of the last 11 years has been the sea change in government stance from women's development to women-led development. Women have broken new frontiers in diverse sectors like sports, science, space, and have shown that Nari Shakti knows no limits, and women can contribute shoulder to shoulder with men towards nation building as we move towards our dream of Viksit Bharat by 2047. Thanks to government efforts, there is newfound respect and recognition of women as equal contributors, equal partners. And now we have with us Dr. Jaya Chawla from Ram Manohar Lohia Hospital. Dr. Chawla, warm welcome to you on Akashvani.
Thank you so very much.
Dr. Chawla, we'd like to know from you that in the healthcare ecosystem, what is the contribution of women? We are talking about Nari Shakti in the entire economy and especially in the science sector. So we would like to know from you how far women are playing a role in the healthcare sector.
I would say that there are very few areas of work where women predominate. And healthcare, I would be very proud to say, is one of those. If, like, I talk of healthcare in general, but me being an OBGY, would like to specify that in my particular case, insofar as gynae, the branch is concerned, right from the doctors to the paramedics to our nursing officers to the fourth class people, every single person who is doing every bit of duty, be it transporting the patient from the operation table to the ward and back and forth, the guards in my hospital, each and every one of them is a lady. So what could be more empowering to see that where women come to give birth, and you know that we had in some point of time, if you go back, we had a patriarchal society where the birth of a son was celebrated a little more than that of a daughter. So our surroundings, when they come to give birth in today's times, stand as a testimony, stand as a witness to how womanhood is celebrated, how each and every woman around them is a source of pride, a source of honor, and a source of dependability for their families, both their parents as well as their in-laws. So this is what they bring to the table in today's times, and this is what is so brilliantly exemplified by the Department of Obstetrics in just about any nook and corner of the world. When I sit in my OPD, so many of the workforce around would come saying that this is my mother, please take care of her. This is my mother-in-law, please take care of her. So in today's times, a working woman who is coming to the hospital every single day, no matter what her capacity, what her position, her rank, her role in that particular sector, is navigating two families to the hospital for their health care, be it preventive health checks, be it therapeutic. They are catering to two families, and these families are so very proud and so very dependent on them for this particular agenda. I don't think there are very few examples in our society where men would cater to both the families in such a brilliant fashion.
So maybe the epitome of Nari Shakti is this balancing act which women perfect so beautifully. You see that in the medical world, there are a lot of women who are the healthcare providers. For the aspiring doctors, you know, students who want to come into medicine, girls who want to come into medicine, what would your core advice be?
I would say only one thing, and that is the time has come where you don't have to clip your wings to suit anyone. Sky is all yours. You have got wings to fly, and whatever you aspire to become, absolutely unapologetically go and become that. The world will have to adjust, and the world is already adjusting. The world is already coming up with the idea of accommodating an empowering woman, an empowered woman. And I think our families who are right behind us in this entire sojourn of serving the society and the nation, I don't think it's just the women who support us. It is the men also. It is our father also in the play, our brother also in the play, our husband right behind us, our father-in-law right behind us. So I would say that the society at large should be thanked that they have brought womanhood to a point where we feel not only empowered, but also cherished and celebrated.
Absolutely.
So it is time in this society where women are accepted with all their wisdom, all their courage, all their power. So this is the right time to be in this world, and women should not shy away. They should absolutely take this chance and live their aspirations to the fullest. And yes, every accolade that we bring comes with a responsibility. So women know their balancing acts, and it comes to both men as well as women that they have to balance home and hearth also when they go ahead with the profession. Okay. So I think women at this point are doing this beautifully. And like I said, the patients who come to us, whenever I see somebody bringing in a third child because their previous two were girl children, I give them the example of the postgraduate resident sitting in my OPD. I said, they are the proud daughters of their family. I do not know if they have brothers or not, but their families do not despise their presence. They celebrate, and their family's support has brought them to this place where this girl, almost half your age, is treating you today. So if you can make your daughters what they are here, there is absolutely no reason. I mean, whatever you have, a son is also equally celebrated as a daughter.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I will not shun the manhood for this because they have been a part of this journey. I would celebrate and acknowledge their presence here.
So it is about moving together shoulder to shoulder and contributing to the nation building, being equal partners, right?
Yes. As I see it, every human being on this planet comes with a set of strengths as well as weaknesses. So the idea here is to amalgamate and align in such a manner that I compensate your weakness and you compensate mine. And together we become invincible.
So ma'am, if we talk about the medical sector, we have so many people from other countries coming here for healthcare. You feel that the entire medical ecosystem of the country has evolved. We are called the pharmacy of the world, and that also brings a lot of opportunities for students to step into medicine, including women.
Absolutely. Like I said, this is the era to be in. And we are very fortunate to have been born in this time and, of course, in this country where we are attracting every single opportunity on this planet at this time. So, yes, medical tourism, like you said, is also a part of this. And that brings in the fact that we are more reassured of what we do today because it is not just our people, but people across the horizons who are trusting us with their health, with the health of their loved ones. And yes, that becomes an incentive for more younger people to join the healthcare works. Indeed, it does.
So would you say there are still some challenges which are being recognized and which are being overcome, let's say, regarding workplace security? Or short while ago, you were talking about the gender bias. You think these challenges have been overcome to a great extent, and there has to be awareness so that they do not become obstacles when women step out to realize their dreams?
See, saying that there are no challenges would be an exaggeration. We do not. That's not the case. But I believe that health sector still is one of the most secure and safe places where women have been working in their night duties and night shifts since times immemorial. In our hospital, we never felt scared. Even the person sitting next to me could have been a male in whatever capacity. He could have been my colleague. He could have been somebody senior to us, somebody junior to us, somebody assisting us with various other ideas. But we never felt scared or threatened by their presence. See, exceptions will always be there. There can never be a generalization which is absolutely correct. But given the fact that there are so many other instances where women feel a lot of bias and a lot of harassment, I would feel that healthcare is one industry where people are very supportive, and I don't think any of me or the numerous people I've worked with ever said that they feel insecure in their hospital premises.
Dr.
No.
Jay, can you tell us, you know, what is broadly the trend of enrollment of women in medical schools and in terms of physicians, the percentage? Is there a rising trend of women representation in this field?
So earlier we used to have a 2:1 ratio, and in today's times that ratio is almost reversed. Mm. And these days more and more women are getting inclined to join.
Okay.
So, you know, of course there can be varying ratios in different parts of the country, but overall I would say that it is 50%. Women are equally as inclined to join healthcare as are men, if not more. And there are many instances where they are much more actually.
So would you say that women bring a lot of sensitivity to the workplace and grace to the workplace? How do you feel that when the proportion of women goes up, what benefits ensue apart from, of course, their professional acumen?
So when you say that, I totally reckon and second your statement that the world is rising to the need of soft skills. It is not just a competence as a doctor that is required to run the show, but also how empathetically and how softly do you navigate the path. That is equally important. And when I say that, yes, women do have certain qualities which they bring to the table which are unique. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, establishing a balance is something that comes to women very naturally. They have been trained to do it ever since their time of birth. So that reduces friction. It brings people together. It aligns people from various strata. See, hospitals also have strata. We have a lot of different strata where people come. So many of them may not be as qualified. Some of them will be highly qualified. And in order to align all of them to the common agenda of service and healthcare delivery, and the soft skills that women possess comes in very, very handy. Also, there are certain branches where it used to be a male predominance earlier, but nowadays I see that women are shining even in those branches because their competence was never at question. Mm-hmm. But the society's acceptance of women in a certain role was where the roadblock was. So you could see very few neurologists or cardiologists as women in the country. You could see absolutely no orthopedician being a woman at one point of time. But today, all of those glass molds are breaking. And we see that more and more women are joining each of this and these hitherto, I would say, somewhat restricted categories. Mm-hmm. And they're doing exceptionally well over there. Because like I said, the competence was never a question. But the society started accepting them. Yeah. And the society also rose up to the value that women bring another dimension when they come into the workforce. So their empathy, their soft skills, their resilience, their flexibility, their motivation to align, their motivation to make it work no matter what is exemplary.
So, Dr. Chawla, you're an epitome of Nari Shakti in your field. You have really been so successful. You are an empowered woman yourself. Can you say some words to aspiring young girls who are now going to step into field of specialization or their career as to how they can make a success of their future life?
I would suggest that, number one, today's generation is very enlightened. So I celebrate and I say kudos to that. They are very aware of what they want out of life, and that is great. The second thing I want to say is the very fact that we have become a more gender-neutral society in terms of work. You are free to pursue whatever you want to without having to be told that you, being a woman, cannot go into this territory because it is a male bastion. There is nothing called a male bastion in today's times. And insofar as health here is concerned, you are free to pursue your dream, your interest, based on what your temperament and your caliber is. Please do not be restricted by anyone who tells you you cannot or should not do this if you feel inclined and motivated to do that. If you are convinced, people will eventually rise to the fact that you were the best person for the job. So sky is your limit. And do not let anybody else tell you anything otherwise.
Dr. Chawla, thank you so much for this insightful and inspirational discussion on the rise of Nari Shakti in all fields of our economy, our society.
Thank you so very much.
We have with us a sports journalist, Uttara Ganeshan. Uttaraji, warm welcome to your Akashvani.
Thank you so much.
Uttaraji, you know, the image which comes to my mind, which we have recently seen and every Indian has felt proud of, is our women's cricket team winning the ICC Women's Cricket World Cup in November 2025. You think that women have come into their own in sports and they are shattering gender barriers? And this is, you can say, a prime example of that?
I think as far as elite sports is concerned, in the last few years, our women have actually outperformed the men in terms of their results, in terms of their performances and everything. Because if you see across sports, it's the women who are the bigger stars. Cricket is an exception, yes. But even there, you have to remember that the women have almost equaled the men in terms of their popularity. And in terms of other sports, if you see whether it's badminton or tennis or any other sport, most of our achievements in the last few years have actually come from women, not men.
That's really a heartening thing. And if we talk about participation and talent identification, what kind of steps has the current government taken which have yielded results?
A lot of them. We have to understand that the entire sports ecosystem works in a very connected way. There's nothing if you can pick and choose that there is this one thing that works and one thing doesn't. It's a complete ecosystem where the states, the departments, the federations, the central government, everyone has to come together and also affect an overall societal change in terms of the mindset and let people understand that women need to be given that opportunity in the sporting arena also. Mm-hmm. Once they do that, it's pretty obvious that the women will do well. And in terms of programs, I think we don't have to look any further than the Asmita Leagues that is being held, yeah. which actually plays multiple roles. The Asmita Leagues across the country, in various states, in various sports, it does a lot of different things. It gives an opportunity to the girls at the grassroots a chance to compete at a professional level. It gives them the infrastructure to actually play at the same level where the elites do in terms of the grounds and the kits and everything. It also gives them a chance to move beyond their immediate sphere, going beyond the villages and the small cities and towns. And I think the biggest game changer when it comes to providing a chance to the marginalized sections, including the tribals.
Absolutely. So under the Khelo India movement, this Asmita League, in fact, it yes. has so far across 34 sports disciplines. It has been held in over 550 districts and 700 cities. And as you were saying, even in the remote areas, even in the areas which were earlier infested by Naxalites and Arunachal Pradesh, Mizoram in northeast. So you feel that these efforts of the government, they help in honing the vast talent which would be there in our country. And that is why our entire performance in international or regional sports performance is going up and up.
I think it's doing a lot more than that, especially when it comes to the tribal games and the Asmita League. Because when we look at the other Khelo India games, whether it's the youth games or the universities, the participation is from across the country. But in terms of organization, they are still restricted to the cities. Okay. But these two events, whether it's the tribal games, the Khelo India tribal games that were recently held, and the Asmita League events, they actually go into the interiors of the country. They're organized in far-flung areas in the hinterland, and it's not just about giving them a sporting chance. It actually helps bring about a change in the entire society and thinking. And once that thing happens, it automatically works towards, you know, improving the lifestyle of people there, improving the law and order situation, and improving the overall ecosystem. It gives them the option that there is something beyond. The Asmita League has given a chance to women in areas that are almost inaccessible, the hope that they can stay home and still achieve something in events that otherwise is not considered something that is very useful. It gives them a chance to, you know, showcase their own special individual skills in events that they are experts of, but the rest of the world has not really understood or has knowledge about it. And they don't need to move to a city like Delhi or Mumbai to do that. So that is a big thing.
So you were a short while ago talking about family support or society support. Now there is a gender bias and that is, you feel that girls, they are getting a chance to really come out and, you know, hone their talents thanks to these efforts of the government, because then government becomes a partner. They sort of give that confidence, you feel, to the families and the societies that this is something which is very much empowering their daughters.
Exactly. And that is why I said that it is very important to have these events in areas that people are comfortable in. Once the families and the society and the village sees that the girls from their family, from their village are confident enough to perform and to participate in such events, and they also get the assurance that playing sports is not something that is going to spoil their goals. It's only going to give them a chance to have a better future. Once these things actually see it happening in front of them, in their villages, in their small towns and everything, the parents and the society also gets more confident in sending the more talented girls outside to, you know, maybe a bigger city, to a government training camp, to the national centers of excellences, to the SAI centers. Because earlier what it used to be was that the centers were so limited that someone in a village would think twice about sending their daughters, you know, 200 kilometers door kisi sarkari SAI ke center mein bhejna hai. That's not something that most people are comfortable with. When they see these girls participating in events like this, which are supported and backed by the government, and they see them playing in the Asmita, there are states and there are schools that are participating, there are government officials that are involved, the whole government machinery is behind this whole scheme, and they see that their girls have a future in sports, they have a little more assurance in the fact that they can safely send their girls to that size center, which might be 200, 250 kilometers away. So this is the first step. And once one girl goes out, that is why that first girl getting out is very important. Once that girl goes out, then you see others from the same village coming up, and then the small district starts producing athletes in that sport. So that first step to assure the parents that their kids are safe in a SAI center, that first step is very important, and that is what all these government schemes that are taking sports to the hinterland are doing right now.
Utraji, you know, women athletes, they have performed exceptionally well. They have won Olympic medals and international medals in boxing, wrestling, badminton, weightlifting, tennis. And of course, we talked about cricket. Our first World Cup was won recently by the women's cricket team. So how do you see the future of Indian sports as far as women are concerned? You feel that they will achieve greater heights and keep breaking new frontiers and entering new sports?
Definitely. In fact, one of the sports where I think world over men's football is very popular, but football is one sport where I genuinely feel that if the women get as much exposure and as much coverage and as much support from the officials and the authorities and the federation and everyone, that is one sport where I think women have a much better chance of actually making the World Cup than the men. They can do that much before that. And even in other sports, if you see, it's not just now, even amongst the youngsters who are likely to be the future stars, whether it's the individual events or the team events, whether it's boxing or wrestling or badminton, the sports that you mentioned, every one male prospective future star that we have, there are at least two or three women who are out there. So definitely, I think women have a much better chance of reaching higher levels and achieving a lot more success if they get the exact same facilities and the exposure and funding and support from all parties. It's not just the government, because we have to remember that there's a limit to which how much government can do. Okay. The society has to come together. The federations have to look inwards and consciously make an effort to provide the exact same facilities to both their men and women. And once that happens, I genuinely believe that women have a much better chance of reaching the top than men any day.
Thank you so much, Utraji, for giving us a deep insight into the emerging Nari Shakti in the sports ecosystem of our country.
Thank you so much.
We have with us Aastha Jhala, who is analog astronaut and space architect. Aastha ji, warm welcome to you on Akashvani.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what are these fields, analog astronaut and space architect, and how important are these for the space sector?
So basically, analog astronaut mimics the real life of an astronaut when the astronaut flies through the space. So let's say, for example, India is planning a Gaganyaan mission. So we are assuming that two ISRO astronauts, for example, Shubham Shukla or Prashant Nair, will be traveling to space in Gaganyaan crew module. But we need to do a lot of ground simulations before the actual space mission. So when a person is doing the ground simulation mission on behalf of the astronaut who flies through the space, is called analog astronaut. Okay. So basically, he also drinks, sleeps, performs research, everything similar to that of an astronaut, but just not in the gravity on the ground-based infrastructure. Now, when I talk about space architecture, space architecture is basically a subject which includes many other subjects. For example, it includes design, engineering, psychology, sociology, physiology study. So many different disciplines come into the picture. For example, electrical engineer also plays its role while designing a space station. So that's about space architecture.
So, Asajis, as laymen, we have seen that when the successful launch and landing of Chandrayaan 3 took place, or the other space missions, when we saw the images that were flashed on televisions of ISRO, we saw so many women scientists. And that like doubled the pride in the Indians' hearts. So, can you tell us about this journey? Are there large number of women scientists now coming into space? Have you observed this aspect?
Yes, I personally feel that, see, this the women in STEM, basically in India, the journey was started with Sunita Williams, Kalpana Chawla, correct? Now, more and more women are entering. Like, for example, in India right now, we have around 1,200 startup companies in space. And I will say that now more number of women are growing in it. For example, now we have almost 15 to 20 companies who are started from women in space. So it is coming, but of course there are challenges as well. But I think there is a lot of government grants also available for women in space startups.
Okay.
So I think that helps a lot.
So the government has given a lot of encouragement through its various schemes, which are women-centric.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the women-centric schemes, which are specifically targeted for encouraging women to come more and more into the space sector and play a contributory role?
Yes. For example, Niti Aayog, and when we start up a company in Startup India, also in seed funding also, there are various accelerator programs specified for only women in space or women entrepreneurship are available.
Okay. And how easy it is to get this kind of help from the government?
It is pretty easy because there are multiple grant options available.
Okay.
So, but the procedure for women and men is basically the same. We have to apply our startup idea and then they help us to get incubated.
Uh-huh.
And through the incubation, we are able to raise funding to the incubation centers. The government is also organizing a lot of conferences where women are also given opportunities to speak on various platforms. For example, IDEX, Confederation of Indian Space Industry, the CII, CII India. All of these institutions are also now promoting women to talk about their ventures. So that also gives an opportunity for fundraising to them and networking.
So what are the various opportunities in the space sector for anybody who is interested in being a part of this exciting journey of country, and especially for women? What are the various opportunities according to you?
So in space, we have satellites, we have rocket launches, we have ground situational awareness, we also have human space flight. So there are opportunities in all of these sectors. Even when you see this company called Dhruva Space or Skyote Aerospace, these are the premier space companies in India. They also have a lot of women scientists who are on a very senior position building up the rocket or building up the satellite, to be honest. Even Pixel has it. Even in Human Space Flight Center ISRO, there are also a lot of women involved who are working for Gaganyaan Bharat station. So now I would say, like, in every domain of space, there is an opportunity for the women if they have a talent. And I would say more than talent, if they have the motivation.
And what message would you like to give to young aspirants, you know, who want to come into the space sector? What tips can you give? What advice can you give? You yourself being a symbol of Nari Shakti, who has really left your mark in the space sector.
Space is a very challenging career. There is no ROI at the early stage. You have to invest at least 5 to 7 years before you can actually get the fruit out of your hard work, I would say. So personally, I am into this career since I was 13 years old. And since then, I have been very much focused into space. Space is the next big economy. By 2030, it is going to be almost $8 billion. It's going to be a very big economy. So space is coming sector. There is a lot of opportunities into it. But I think if you start on something, you must go all the way. Otherwise, don't even start. I think now there is a lot of support from the government also, from the private sector also. So start early, I would say also. You can even start with it even while you are studying. And you can still go for a research project. Even if you are not studying, you are in high school, you can still apply for this ISRO's Yuvika program.
Okay.
ISRO has this Yuvika program where they are inviting all young girls to build their own rockets. We have this InSpace is launching this CANSAT satellite launch and rocket launches. They also promote a lot of girls startups, even girls researchers. So start early and go all the way till the end. Don't give up. Just want to add one thing. Whenever you feel this is looking very difficult to me, I don't think I can achieve, or where the question of self-doubt arises, you can always step down. You can just close off your things and you can step down. That is a very easy to step down.
Okay.
But in that moment, you must find out a way to progress ahead. And I think that is where you will progress. So when it's most difficult, take a step ahead instead of take a step back.
So you're saying that reboot and then recharge and then give wing to whatever dream you have.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Astaji, for this inspiring talk and taking us through your journey, how you have made a mark in the space sector and how women are actually showing their mettle in this sector more and more, as we have been seeing with all the successful launches which have happened. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. Current Affairs.